You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are watching, listening to the Financial Survival Network, and I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 11/17/21. And well, you've been hearing about crypto, more and more adoption across the world. Everybody's getting into crypto. Is that a good sign? Does that mean that the crypto boom is rapidly approaching an end? Well, we won't pass judgment on that. But with us now is author Richard Turin. Richard, your latest book about cashless in China. You're a resident of China long term, and very little cash transactions taking place in the People's Republic of China. So maybe that's the cutting edge of the trend. You're going to share with us about your book and what you've been doing there and your observations. If you got a question for Richard, myself, just shoot us an email to kl@carrielutz.com. So Richard, thanks for coming on. So crypto, central bank currencies, all these things you cover in your book. What is the future of digital currencies? Is it going to be a complete replacement for cash, for currency? And the book is China's Digital Currency Revolution, Cashless. And appreciate you coming on. So what's your take on digital currencies, especially with China, largest population in the world?
Sure. Hi, Carrie. Nice to meet you, and nice to meet your entire audience. Let's get right into it. China is essentially a cashless society in, of course, the big cities. When you go out to smaller rural villages, things get, there's still some cash in use there. But the important thing to know is that what China is doing is it's launching the world's, it's not quite the first, but it's the first for a major economy, the first central bank digital currency, or what you'll hear me call CBDC. Okay. Now, the most important thing to understand is that a CBDC is not a cryptocurrency. It's not like Bitcoin. It's not like Ether. A CBDC is a digital representation of paper money. It's probably the easiest way to think about it. So China's already gone mostly cashless because it has two really popular payment systems. One is called WeChat Pay and the other is Alipay. And they are corporate money, but they're money, digital money nonetheless, and we use them to buy everything. So we're mostly digital. We're going to get even more digital in the coming year or so when the central bank digital currency officially launches. And it's generally loved. Everybody loves not having cash, not making change, and paying for stuff the easy way. And it has spurred China's e-commerce and digital economy. There's nothing you can't do online anymore, and that's huge.
So, Richard, how different is that than just using a credit card? I mean, to the end user, isn't it really the same?
Yes and no. So, look, let's get to the most important part. Ready? Payment on the current networks and payment on the central bank digital currency network are free and immediate. So if you're selling coffee anywhere in the United States and you're a small coffee shop and you're using Square and you're paying 4 and 5% for vendor's fees on your cards, there's a big difference. So it is a miles and miles away from cards in the sense that you use your phone to pay. There is no need for this piece of plastic. And for everybody who's tapping and swiping, the concept of using a phone on which has a QR code, that you pull up from your app. It's simpler, it's easier, and it makes it so that you don't have to leave credit card numbers on various internet sites and you're not sure the security is good, that kind of problem. So high tech, biometric, low amounts of theft, free and immediate. Those are the buzzwords for the digital currency future that we all are going to share eventually, not just in China.
Fascinating. So the key is that it's free, basically, because it's free, because every, you know, Visa and MasterCard, multi-billion dollar companies, just shaving that 2-4% off of every transaction out there. And as we know, in many areas, most transactions take place using some credit card or a debit card. They charge you a little bit less for a debit card, but this is basically getting rid of the middleman, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And that's really what this is all about. Look, especially with central bank digital currency, and we'll see talking in a few minutes about how the U.S. is also going down this path. The real central idea really comes from the crypto world, and it's that ability to disintermediate financial institutions and to make a digital payment from me to you with no one in between. You don't need your bank. You don't need a card company. You don't need a credit card machine. You know, that's really the revolution that we're going to get in this cashless future when someday the U.S. has a central bank digital currency.
Yeah. I guess it's coming, so-called Fed coin. But, you know, we got large portions of the economy dependent upon these intermediaries that we call them, the credit card companies, actually their networks, because the banks, for the most part, with the exception of American Express, a couple others, the banks issue the cards, and they're either Visa cards or MasterCards, and that means that they have access to the payment network. We already know there's billions of dollars worth of fraud that take place every year there. So the concept of having a disposable QR code for every transaction that could possibly be done is really kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. And let's talk about the key thing you just said was fraud, right? And card not present fraud is one of the big statistics for the, you know, for the U.S. Get this. The existing digital payment network, Alipay, which is one of the largest ones, has about 53% of the China market for mobile payment. And how big is that market? It's $52 trillion. So in comparison, the mobile payment market in China, because it's free and immediate and because everybody loves to use it, it's four times GDP of China. Now, if you look at credit cards in the U.S., they're still only about two times U.S. GDP. So, you know, that's the kind of numbers. But here's the key thing. Because this is phone-based payment, right? And it uses biometrics, either thumbprint or password, for you to make a payment. The fraud on the Alipay network is 1/10,000th that of the fraud in the U.S. card business. So if your security is having the number of your card on the front with the four digits on the back, you know, that doesn't really cut it. It may be a cut it in 1982, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. So we're really using technology. Now, does the blockchain come into this at all, Richard? How's the blockchain figure in?
It can. The answer is central bank digital currencies certainly can be built on blockchain. China's was not. And the reason is that blockchain systems can't handle the raw volume and the speed required for a country with 1.4 billion people. Right. To give you an idea, you know, a typical credit card network in the Europe or the US is maybe handling around 50,000 transactions per second.
Yeah.
The Alipay network during their equivalent of Christmas, 11/11, or the Singles Day, which just passed, they handle over 500,000 transactions per second, add a zero to the credit card world. So, you know, it's really hard to do that on a blockchain network when you've got so many people using it.
Sure. Well, the newer blockchains That brings us to the next thing. So you mentioned pre-call that the Republican members, I guess, of the Finance Committee in the Senate just put forward a paper on cryptocurrencies, a policy statement. Now, granted, they're in the minority, but I think one of the greatest things for politicians, cryptocurrency is one of the greatest things ever, because now they get their bribes immediately, instantaneously, with no bagmen, nothing. It's the greatest thing ever for corruption politics.
Oh, no question about it. The amount of money that's been spirited away via crypto by crooked politicians across the planet has got to be pretty big at this point, and God knows what that number would be. But look, yeah, there was just the House Financial Services Committee just launched a single page, not complicated, and it basically said, these are the principles that we would like for building a U.S. central bank digital currency. Now, the interesting thing is that one of these four basic principles is that the Financial Service Committee says, hey, look, we want to use stable coins. We believe that essentially stable coins should exist in parallel with any central bank digital currency issued by the U.S. government. So we can look at a future where we're going to have both.
All right. Please define for the audience, even though my audience, I know so many of you out there know all about this, but there are some of you out there who don't know what a stable coin is. Can you just assume we know nothing here, Richard? What's a stable?
Don't just survive. Thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to trilogymetals.com. That's trilogymetals.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Sure, absolutely. Look, central bank digital currency is issued by the central bank, the Fed, in our case, the US, the Federal Reserve, right? Now we have these things called stable coins. They are a cryptocurrency, and they are a special kind of cryptocurrency that is tied to the value of, in the case of many, and the ones that you're going to use, they're tied to the value of the dollar. So $1 is equal to one unit of whatever the name of that stable coin would be. So, but the thing that you need to understand is that, okay, one of these is issued by the Fed. And of course, people are concerned about the government looking at their data and being aware of what their transactions are. The other is, of course, issued by a corporation. So we've got the Diem coin, which is going to be part of the Facebook, or now the Meta empire. So you've got corporates looking at your money at one side, or governments looking at your money on the other side. Both have pros and cons, but you'll be able to pick from one or the other, depending on what it is you want to do someday, not too far off.
All right. So there's a big controversy over a stable coin by the name of Tether, and that is being used to purchase Bitcoin. So you buy Tether. Sometimes you don't even know it. Exchanges buy the Tether, and then it's converted into Bitcoin. And supposedly, it's very susceptible to major fraud. Can you just touch on that a little?
Sure. There are... We're looking at a world where we're going to have stablecoin companies that will be regulated very similarly to banks. Mm-hmm. Tether is not one of them, and Tether is the reason why the Office of Comptroller of Currency, the SEC, everybody is getting in now to this. We need to regulate stablecoins fast because they're very concerned about Tether, because It's essentially like a bank. It says, look, if I have $1 billion of Tether, there's a lot more. I can't remember the notional anymore. But if you have $1 billion of Tether out there to back, makes sense, right? Well, what happens if Tether lost some of that money along the way? So you've got something that's trading at a dollar, but they don't have the equivalent reserves to back it. And that's the problem that Tether has, because they have a lot of risky and unknown investments. They do report. They have been forced to report after multiple lawsuits, but the reports are still inadequate because they'll just claim that they have commercial paper. Well, whose commercial paper? What commercial paper? Yeah. The reporting for Tether right now, look, I worked in banking for 18 years. I was an investment banker. The reporting for Tether, you know, my grandmother couldn't report that. You know what I mean? It's so bad, but that's another issue.
Okay. So years ago, there was a company in New York that approached me. I was in the printing business, and it was a barter company. And I don't want to mention their name. Well, I can mention their name. I'm not saying anything bad about them. But it was called Feaster Barter. And basically, you provided a service, and you would get units of their barter currency. And then you could use that barter currency to buy products at other participating merchants.
And yes, I know. I remember that. Sure.
So the guy comes to see me, and you know, I was always an Austrian economist into it for a long time. I totally got the idea of central banks, and I said, "Let me ask you a question. What's to stop you from printing up all these units? Because we didn't even know what transparency was. We didn't call it that then." We didn't call transparency. We called it, what's to stop you from printing your own unit? I said, well, we promised not to. I said, well, your promise isn't worth the paper it's not written on. And I didn't participate. And then, it got big for a while. It had, a little cultish following. And every night you go past a restaurant, and it would say, we no longer accept Feaster Barter. And, that just was vindication. And that's the problem with cryptos. Well, we know that Bitcoin, from the nature of its algorithm, cannot, and the blockchain, there's only a fixed amount of it. But a lot of these other coins, especially stable coins, it's unlimited how much they can create, isn't it?
As it stands currently, yes, because they are woefully poor at reporting what their actual positions are. Are they abject scams? No, I don't think so. But I do think that they are under-reserved. And if you're under-reserved, it means that the price of your stablecoin should be less than a dollar. That's just the way the economics works on this stuff. But the new generation will be better.
Yeah, they're unstable coins, really.
Absolutely. And, and people should be concerned about it. And, if something bad happens with Tether, there'll be a knock-on impact into the Bitcoin and other markets. It'll be interesting to watch that. But that's why everybody's so concerned about it, because they're worried that it's sort of the domino or card that's going to push the whole thing over.
Yeah, let's not say when, let's not say if, let's say when, because by all accounts, they can't account, and could be talking billions of dollars that went out into a black hole and never to be heard from again. Because, hey, once you do four or five round trip cryptos, it becomes virtually impossible to track the source.
I'll say it. It's controversial. I have put this on Twitter multiple times. The guys from Tether are going to make Bernie Madoff look like a good guy.
I love it.
These guys are real shrewd, and they have had multiple, many, many opportunities to clean and report. What do you got? And they will not. And, it's just so nobody should be surprised,
Hey, well, we're in the wild west of digital currencies, really, here, Richard. It's really the emergence of it. I have a small position because, honestly, hey, I report on this stuff. I discuss it. So to not have talk about it, you really can't do it. And who knows, maybe it'll go up. I still got 0.2 bitcoins floating around that I can't remember the damn key to, that are lost in the ether. Now, when I lost them, they were worth $120. Now they're worth $12,000. It's really upsetting the hell out of me. But I think we'll go for some narco hypnosis, and maybe they can pull the key out of me. I don't know. But write those keys down someplace, somewhere secure. Don't lose them. Don't. So much of the Bitcoin, the early Bitcoin, is lost to humanity, never to be found again. Richard, so just tell us your book, where we find it, how we connect with you on the web.
Sure. I just want to make one thing really clear for folks, because the new version of stablecoins will be run like normal regulated U.S. banks. They're going to be great. We got a couple of great coins out there already. I just want to make sure people are not scared. Okay. So my book is called Cashless, China's Digital Currency Revolution. And if you're thinking, well, what does China have to do with the U.S.? It's really clear. You are going to go cashless in the U.S., just like China did. And how you consume services, the relationship you have with money, will look a lot like what China's got today. So in this area, China's about a decade ahead. So it's a fun read. It's not super technical. It's written in a way that people can digest it and go through the chapters. I tried to make it non-technical, so it's not just for like super finance people.
Hey, and we should mention, we didn't really get into this, but there will never truly be a cashless society, because you always need emergency cash for when the grid goes down. New Orleans, Texas last winter, when the grid just melted down totally, you always need some emergency cash. But for the bulk of your day-to-day transactions in life, it's going to go digital more so than it is now. They'll cut out the middleman. What Visa and MasterCard are going to do, I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Send an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. If you've got a question for Richard, shoot it off to that email address. We'll get you an answer. Promise. Go over to the website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and sign up for your free newsletter. Richard, it's been great having you on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much for having me, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.